fighting for America.
Russia continues to isolate itself by their actions. They're dangerous, they're provocative, they're irresponsible. This needs to stop.
Fighting for Idaho.
Of all the incredible moments of our trips to Africa, one of the most memorable was being able to bring Michelle and later our little girls to my father's hometown in Kenya.
Fighting for you.
If an illegal immigrant kills an American citizen, we're lucky to get that information out of the police.
You know, what we need to do is to crack down on the employers that hire the illegals. They're the ones that enable them to stay here and take American jobs.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, our great friend Wayne Allen Root is with us. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up with him. And Mr. Root, good to have you with us.
Hey, Kevin, great to be on.
Man, I can remember, you know how it is. You do these talk shows, you have a bond, and then we've slipped away for a little while. I think we were just in that post-election funk, but it's great to have you back.
Hey, I'm always around, so you can call me anytime you want. I do 1,200-plus radio interviews a year, so when you guys on talk radio call, I answer. I answer the bell. So make sure you call more often. That's all, Kevin.
We'd love to have you. Now, Wayne, let's talk a little bit about yourself for people that have heard your name, but they don't understand how serious you are about the safety, the security, the future of this country.
Well, I'm a serious dude. And I've got my new book out called The Murder of the Middle Class. If my name sounds familiar, Wayne Allen Root, it's because I was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate in the past. It's because I'm a regular on Fox News. It's probably because I had one of the best-selling political books of the year last year called The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. And my new book is The Murder of the Middle Class. It's available right now at Amazon.com or any bookstore, Costco, Sam's Club, Barnes & Noble, you name it. My website is RootForAmerica.com.
Well, now, talk a little bit about your history, because you go back a ways with the president.
Well, it's not like I'm his buddy or anything. Let's not let's not get this confused. I was his supposed college classmate. We both graduated class of 1983 from Columbia University. I tell the story in detail for the first time ever in my new book, The Murder of the Middle Class, that, listen, we were both political science majors, both pre-law, had to hang out in the same classes, had to hang out with the same people and the same professors. Yet I never saw him, never heard of him, never met him. Don't know anyone at Columbia who ever saw him, ever heard of him, ever met him. He certainly was never in class. I'm assuming he did go to school. He was on the graduation day graduation list. It says Wayne Allen Root. I went back and looked. It says Wayne Allen Root graduating on that day. It says Barack Hussein Obama. We were on the same day of graduation, but the man was never in class. So, as usual, we've got a mysterious Manchurian candidate as president, right?
Indeed. Not only president, but reelected, and he's got his pen and paper. Now, a lot of people are worried about impeachment, but you write about impeachment as well, the idea of impeaching the president for consumer fraud.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think it's so obvious, you know, what Republicans are trying to do is tie all these scandals to the president, and they're right. I mean, I think Benghazi's terrible. I think Fast and Furious is terrible. NSA is terrible. The border crisis is terrible. If he legalizes every single person coming through the border, which the rumor from Obama's own people is that's going to happen, basically amnesty starting right after Labor Day, that's terrible. These are all impeachable offenses. The IRS scandal is the worst scandal, I think, in the history of American politics. But can you tie any of those to the president? Can you make them purposeful? I don't know. That's the hard part. What's easy, what's so easy, the low-hanging fruit standing right in front of you, and you don't see it, is that he went on TV and 300 million people were the witnesses, and he said, if you like your insurance, you can keep it. That was fraud. You can't keep it. You know, his own internal White House statistics at the moment he said that reported or warned that 93 million Americans would lose their insurance, and that didn't stop him from saying, if you like your insurance, you can keep it. That sends people to jail every day. Kevin, if that's in the private sector, you're gone for life with a lie like that. That ruins people's lives. It takes insurance away from cancer patients. And most of those 93 million, of course, are not Obama's voters. Those are mostly small business owners and their employees, and that's exactly what just happened to me. 2 weeks ago, as the book was coming out, I get a letter in the mail. I open it. It's from Aetna, the billion-dollar insurance company, I think the third biggest in the world, and it says, because of the mandates of Obamacare, we can no longer afford to insure you. So I lost my insurance. So don't you think we have a lot of witnesses here? I'm willing to be lead plaintiff. Any lawyers listening? This is a class action lawsuit, and this should be criminal. The man lied and took our insurance away, and the new cost, the study was just out on Friday, just in California, ultra-liberal California, Communist People's Republic of California, health insurance premiums up 88% since Obamacare took effect. Here's the guy that told you they'd go lower, and they're up 88%. Isn't that consumer fraud? Folks, he's got to go to jail for lies like this.
Wayne Allen, Root for America. Coming up, we'll talk about saving the middle class. But before that, here's a clip from our friend Chris Troupas. And Wayne, just get your thoughts on it.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
You know, you bring up you've lost your insurance. People around the country are about ready to get hosed. And yet, you have this, as long as the sports are going, the beer's in the fridge, all is well.
Yeah, well, it's the dumbing down of America, let's face it. Most people are under a lot of stress. They've either lost their jobs or they need a supplement to survive, like food stamps. And they come home from work and they're scared about tomorrow and they want to just blank out, zone out, and watch TV, watch American Idol. And these same uneducated, dumbed-down people elected Barack Obama president. And by the way, a lot of it's because they're dumbed down and uneducated. A lot of it's because they need the check. And that's Barack Obama's plan. Make everyone dependent on government. If they're dependent on government, don't you think they'll be more likely to vote for the candidate who promises them more checks and to keep the checks coming? Isn't that almost exactly, by the way, what Mitt Romney said when he thought the cameras weren't on and they made it the media into such a big deal? All he was saying was if you get a check, you're more likely to vote for the guy who promises the bigger check. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I think it's the truth. I think it's the reason Mitt Romney was defeated, folks. So we got to find a way to get the truth into the media. The reality is, you know, if you addict people, they tend to vote for the guy who got them hooked on drugs in the first place. And the drug here are welfare checks. And it works for Fidel Castro in Cuba. It worked for Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. The very masses of people that are destroyed and kept down and kept in poverty so they'll be dependent vote for the guy who kept them down in the first place because they think he's their savior who keeps the checks coming. It's a vicious cycle.
Wayne Allen, Root for America, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO, author of The Murder of the Middle Class. Let's talk about the middle class. I was raised in the middle class, and I've certainly, we've all romanticized about the idea that if you work hard, get married, you know, do all the right things, that America has a future for you. Let's talk about the future for the middle class, sir.
Well, you know, I mean, the fact that I lost my health insurance, does that not tell you something scary about your future, folks? You know, Kevin, everybody listening to your show right now is going to get that same letter as me. I just happened to get it a little sooner. The fact is, it was always in Obama's statistics that most Americans would lose their health insurance or the price would go up dramatically, and most of them was supposed to happen after the 2014 election in 2015. So I got mine a little bit early, but everyone's getting yours. And when you get canceled, how high is your policy going to go, and how will you afford it? So where's the future of the middle class when health insurance premiums are going to double and triple or have already doubled and they're going to double again? Where's the future of the middle class when gas prices to put gas in your car have doubled since Obama became president? Where's your future when electricity bills and grocery bills, meat bills, all-time highs? You know, I mean, this is all scary, scary stuff. All your bills are the highest in history, so I laugh when people talk about, you know, incomes and this and that under Barack Obama. They're all down, wages down, incomes down, assets down. But even if you believe the lies in the media that things are okay and we're in recovery, even assuming your income isn't down and you haven't lost your job and you haven't lost your insurance yet, you got no money left at the end of the week. It's impossible at the bills that colleges charge, electricity charges, grocery charges, health insurance charges. They're all up far more than the percentage of income is up if, in fact, you still have a job. So the future of the middle class is in danger, whether it can even exist anymore. And I'm not even sure it does exist right now. You know, and so we just heard, like, jobs reports. They were supposedly good ones the last 2 months. I got a new commentary coming out the next day that says that's all lies. You know, last month, June, 288,000 jobs created. Guess what they didn't tell anyone, Kevin?
What's that?
Of the 288,000 jobs, the way they got to that figure, the government, 525,000 full-time jobs eliminated across the country, 811,000 part-time jobs created. Oh, my gosh, the entire economy is cleaning toilet bowls and tending bar and mowing lawns and flipping burgers at McDonald's in a part-time job. That's all that's left. The newest job report was just Friday, and it was 208,000 jobs created. They made it like that was a good report. They didn't tell you again. It was almost all part-time jobs, and Most of that increase, almost all of it, was among people over the age of 55. You have to work till the day you die now, so there's no room for people in the prime of their life. If you're 25 through 54 years old, the prime demographic of workers, your jobs went down 146,000 last month. Is this not scaring anyone? This is the murder of the middle class. That's the name of my book. That's what's happening. But, boy, I got great solutions too, Kevin. So let's talk about solutions.
There we have it. Wayne Allen Root with us, rootforamerica.com. The Murder of the Middle Class, his new publication. Great to have him back with us at 580KIDO. So how do we save the middle class?
Well, I mean, I got 100 solutions. Let's start with impeaching Barack Obama. What do you think about that one, Kevin?
I'm with you. The problem is Boehner and the crew don't have enough guts to do anything.
Yeah, I know. And so, you know, listen, I say that almost facetiously, almost laughing as I say it. You've got to impeach Obama because he's committed so much fraud and broken the law, and you've got to set a standard for future presidents where everyone will believe they can get away with violating the Constitution, committing crimes, lying to the American people, and committing fraud. So I think you have to impeach Obama, and you have to stop being such a lily-livered coward if you're a Republican, because, you know, I understand 2 or 3 or 4 years ago everybody loved Barack Obama's personality, and they loved his family, and they didn't really care. His policies were neutral. They didn't hate him or love him. They didn't know yet. Well, now you look at the same polls. I'm a poll reader, and I'm telling you, Obama is the most hated president in the history of America. And Obama, the latest poll shows he's the worst president since World War II. They think he's worse than Nixon, worse than Jimmy Carter, and worse than the guy, you know, Obama claimed everyone hated, George W. Bush. So when he's worse than Nixon, that's the point you can impeach somebody and not be so fearful. But let's set that aside. Okay, you don't want to do that? Let's repeal Obamacare, the most damaging bill in the history of American business and health care. Okay, first of all, as I already pointed out, I just lost my health care, and my family of six is perfectly healthy. If that doesn't scare everybody listening, I don't know what will. This is going to cancel everyone's policies and make you get a new policy that's 4 times more expensive and you can't afford, which makes you dependent on government. So you're killing the middle class. You're killing millions of jobs. It's a part-time job creation machine, killing all full-time jobs in its way. And you're also destroying in the bargain the healthcare system because, you know, it was a lie from the beginning. Forget about, you know, if you like your policy, you can keep it. How about quality won't go down of your healthcare? Really? Doctors are retiring in droves. No new doctors are being added, and you're adding 30 million new patients. And you don't believe you're going to have 6 month, 1 year waits to get the surgery you need, maybe 2 year waits? You don't think as more and more people use the system, you're going to be told you're denied the operation you need altogether? Just go get some rehab. We're not giving you a new knee. Hey, folks, this is a disaster. You've got to repeal Obamacare, or there will never be a new full-time middle-class job in this country again. That's the murder of the middle class.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. Period.
It's time to bring down the costs for the entire country.
And we'll cut the cost of a typical family's health care by up to $2,500 per year.
And if you've got health care, we're going to work with your employer to lower your premiums by $2,500 per family per year.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, getting it started with you and our friend Wayne Allen Root, author of The Murder of the Middle Class. Wayne Allen Root, of course, formerly vice presidential nominee of the Libertarian Party. Murder of the Middle Class, his new publication. Man of the world, great friend in college of President Obama. Well, not not quite truthful on that one.
But back to the GOP, by the way. Make sure everybody knows, you know, being a libertarian is a fruitless endeavor. It's not leading to anything. It's nice to say you're a libertarian, but you, as Ron Paul, as Rand Paul proved, as so many others, Mark Sanford in South Carolina, you got to be back to the GOP. There's only two parties that could save America. One is the evil party, and it's not going to save America. It's called Democrats. The other one is the cowardly party. They're afraid of their own shadow. Unfortunately, I'm proud to be a member of the GOP, the cowardly party.
Well, what do you make of that with Speaker Boehner saying impeachment's off the table? The president says they're going to impeach me, and all of a sudden the liberal progressives start giving him money.
Yeah, well, he used it. Obviously, Obama has, Obama's brilliant. I mean, he's a brilliant marketer. He's a brilliant salesman. He should have been in sales. He'd be a billionaire because he's real good. And Republicans are supposed to be the party of business, Kevin, and they're really bad at sales and bad at branding, which is strange. Now, I'm a branding expert. I travel the world giving speeches about branding. So a large portion of my new book, The Murder of the Middle Class, is devoted to showing the GOP how to brand themselves as the party of the middle class and how to destroy Obama and the Democrats by branding them as communists, radicals, Marxists, and the party of economic suicide is the Democratic Party. You know, it's funny that, you know, you've got an Obama and a John Kerry who talk about, you know, we've got to go green energy. Oh, my God, right now climate change is ruining the world. We got to save your children. Green energy. It's the party of economic suicide. They won't even mention the fact, Democrats, and Republicans are so dumb they don't mention it either, that at this exact moment that they're saying that, Europe is getting rid of all of its greenhouse gas emission standards because they've destroyed their entire economy. They started 10 years earlier than us with an obsession on green energy and climate change, or they called it in those days global warming. Now we've changed the name because there's absolutely factually no global warming. And anyone who says it is a fraud. There's no global warming, but there's definitely climate change. None of it's caused by man. It's been around since the beginning of time. Last week it was raining. This week it's snowing. Next week it'll be sunny. That's climate change. So the fact that liberals would tell you we've got to, you know, switch the entire economy over to green energy when Europe tried it sooner and destroyed their whole economy, and Spain has 28% unemployment and 58% youth unemployment because they became the green energy capital of Europe. The fact that no one tells you that is fraud and economic suicide, and studies prove me right, that if you say it's about clean air for kids, Americans are all for it. If you tell them you'll destroy your job, and here's the proof, they're all against it. So all you have to do is frame the argument correctly and brand it, and we win every argument.
How tough is it, though, to get past the gatekeepers, i.e. the press?
Very hard to get by the press, and that's why in my book I recommend infomercials. You don't need the press. You just buy the time. You spend money and you put 30-minute shows on TV, and on those shows you don't even put politicians or too many experts. Mostly you put the American people. In other words, I could kill Obamacare in 5 minutes with an infomercial run day and night on American TV and radio that interviews average everyday Americans. My kid has cancer. I lost my insurance because of Barack Obama. I have cancer. I lost my insurance because of Barack Obama. I have a business. We're going out of business because of Obamacare and the cost of health care. You know, the list goes on and on. You can prove that Obama's a liar and that American people have been hurt and damaged and maybe in some cases killed if they lose their insurance and they have cancer. He's killing them. It's murder of the middle class, and you could prove that in an infomercial, and you don't even need the media's help. You just turn on the TV, and it's running. And that's the way Ross Perot did well in 1992 with TV infomercials and a little, you know, easel where you just wrote down some facts. Well, you can do that in 30-minute shows, but you can't do it in a quick one-minute commercial, and Republicans are losing elections because you can't explain conservatism in 1 minute. Obama, hey, Kevin, that's easy to explain everything he believes in a 1 minute. He just smiles and tells a quick lie, and that's it. They think he's the American idol, and they vote for him. It's as simple as that. Democrats only need a minute because they have absolutely nothing to say and no facts on their side. Republicans need 30 minutes. I think it's time to turn to infomercials.
Quickly to Miles for Wayne Allen Root. Hello, Miles at 580KIDO.
Yes, sir. Impeachment means charge, and that's where part of the confusion exists. One could pick one of the lower cabinet officers that have been derelict and in violation of their duty and impeach it. If Boehner doesn't have any courage for one of those offices, he could pick one. But the second thing is you could turn around and impeach Biden. And that's what people are not thinking about, is that where are they going to get the votes in the Senate? You turn up the heat, just like your previous caller is suggesting, and you are more specific. But when Newt Gingrich started hitting with his 10 points, and he was doing it on a very strategic method, we need to have a strategic method here.
All right, Miles, thank you. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, just but my answer to that is, listen, I agree that Newt Gingrich was a brilliant marketer, and he won the election in a landslide with the contract with America, and that's why, separate from impeachment, I think the American people, I believe impeachment's necessary. I would never walk away from that idea. I think he needs criminal charges beyond impeachment. I think he's done terrible things to America, Barack Obama. But the American people mostly want to hear solutions, not attacks. So my book, central to the murder of the middle class, is my middle class contract with America, which turns the GOP into the party of the middle class. How do you create middle class jobs? 18-point plan on how you create them. And you start by abandoning the super rich. Forget this nonsense that the Republican Party takes the side of billionaires and the corporate elite on Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, every 5 minutes. Forget all that. Abandon the rich and show people with an 18-point plan. Lay it out how you're going to save the middle class and small business, which is where all the votes are, which who pays all the taxes, who creates all the jobs, small business, not big business. Show that you're the party of small business, and I lay that out in the books. I mean, there's so many facets that can be done to save this country, save your economy, save you personally, save the middle class. How about a gold standard? People keep arguing, how do you cut spending? You know, well, the answer is so simple. Steve Forbes keeps saying it. I keep saying it. We've got to have a gold standard because the Fed just prints money all day at the whim of a president. A gold standard means you can't print fake money. You live with the dollar worth a certain amount based on the value of gold, and you can't change that valuation by printing money. So you could save America with a gold standard, and I believe you could save yourself with a personal gold standard, no matter how bad I believe things are going to get. And Kevin, Wayne Root, the author of The Murder of the Middle Class, is promising you there will be a dollar collapse and a debt crisis leading to an economic collapse of epic proportions coming soon. But you will be fine if some of your, not all, but some of your life savings is in gold and silver. That is the way to protect against the horrible debt crisis and dollar collapse that's on the way. And I've got hundreds of facts in my new book proving that the crisis is going to happen and proving that gold has protected mankind since the beginning of time. So all of these things are all available in The Murder of the Middle Class.
Wayne Allen Root, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do want to remind you, coming up, we'll take a look at a North Carolina restaurant. I actually posted this on my Facebook a couple days ago if you want to take a look at it and comment there. And it's essentially talking about a 15% discount when you go into the restaurant if you pray. And yesterday on The View or whatever, Whoopi Goldberg and the now pregnant Essie Cupp went back and forth on the issue of prayer in the public place. And Whoopi said that people come up to her, believe it or not, as if anybody would ever approach the Whoopster and said to her, "Hey, why don't you pray in public?" And maybe it's the older that I've gotten, or maybe it's the influence of my wife, Dorothy, but, you know, before a meal, what's wrong with praying? And this restaurant, I think it's a brilliant move, both spiritually and from a business point of view. You're targeting people of faith. And in America today, in Idaho especially, there's nothing wrong with advertising your faith. I think we all need salvation, eternal salvation, now more than ever, brothers and sisters. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And would you be offended if you would go to a restaurant and all of a sudden you'd say, well, I'm going to fake it? Well, that'd be between you and the Savior, right? But I think it's a great idea. In fact, I think the Christian community, the religious community, is such a strong, dynamic market. And there are people like the 700 Club and others that focus in on servicing those folks. But I think that movement should and could, especially in America, go mainstream. You know, Dave Petzl always talks about our appearance at the God and Country concert. And what, 13, 15,000 people there for that free show, basically, to thank God for the military and the people that support the military and the first responders. You have a bunch of Christian acts. Now you go some places in America and you're vilified for it. What was it? The other day we were talking to Nagmeet Abedini about how many times Christians have been butchered and killed. So why not reinforce that? It's kind of like the opposite of primetime television, if you noticed, when you're not tuned in to 580KIDO. I mean, what does primetime television do? I mean, they swear now. People use the GD word, which I don't understand. I don't comprehend. I don't think that that's appropriate. As if it's okay. And what do? They focus on the negativity. But anyway, so we'll get into that. I like that idea of the restaurant giving you a discount for praying. Now, I posted this on my personal Facebook page. And I don't know if there's anybody that has any guts enough to answer this question. Who's smarter, men or women? Now, our first lady, Michelle Obama, has weighed in on the topic.
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
There we have it. It is official. Michelle Obama.
When we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
Exactly, has now said that
change is needed and women are smarter than men.
Now, let me try and tiptoe into this sensitive topic because nobody likes to be provocative. Nobody likes to be controversial anymore. I don't see it as a man's world these days. I think that men have become more passive. And look, with respect to the men that are working, building fences, that are, building homes, that are ranching, that are milking the cows on the farms. They're men. They're men. The rest of us, with our hair gel and our elastic pants, I'm not too sure. I think it's become a woman's world in America. And what the first lady was doing, she was at a big conference yesterday with Laura Bush, and they were talking about how we need to change the minds of all the men that suppress women around the world. And I'm thinking to myself, is that really our purpose to tell the Saudis, I'm sorry, according to your faith, your culture, your religion, you're wrong and Western thought is right? Is that really our place? I mean, they wrote a book about it. It's called The Ugly American. But when you're at the office, when you're at home, and gosh knows I don't want to get anybody in trouble expanding the honey-do list, but who's really smarter?
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
Now, can you imagine, my friends, both men and women, can you imagine if Kevin Miller would say, well, it's obvious, she's wrong? Notice how I'm tiptoeing through this with actually, you know, saying it without saying it, if you will. That men are smarter than women. Oh, my, Kevin, you're a sexist. Kevin, you're a bad monkey. Kevin, you're, blah, blah, blah. You can't offend 50% of the listening audience. Or, well, the president, he could get away with saying it. But could you imagine your boss, if it were a man, coming up to somebody and saying that men are smarter than women? Quite frankly, I think that men, being a man, a heterosexual man, proud of being an American man, would say this, that men, just like the United States of America, when we've transferred our wealth, when we've transferred our jobs overseas, we are now transferring our dominance in the culture to women. Look at, we have women sportscasters, news announcers, everybody on television, one of the still most influential forms of media. What are they? They're women. Well, maybe dudes don't like looking at dudes anymore. But the idea that I think that there's a glass ceiling, I just don't see that existing. But The question here...
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
You notice how she just, her inflection, women. Women are smarter than men, Bunky. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And here's the other thing. Now, we could play the Chris Troupas spot about people drinking beer and gas in the ATV and the four-wheeler. However, who has enough guts? Who's willing to stand with me and express their opinion one way or the other about who's really smarter, men or women? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, this topic may have Pat from Middleton written all over it. It may have other people, but again, most men today are henpecked. And they're just going to say, well, not me, Kevin. I don't want to get in trouble. Well, we're always in trouble here. That's what makes it so fun and captivating. I just can't believe that we would have the first lady. Well, again, she's the one that said that he smells and he snores. I mean, do we really need this type of message? And quite frankly, do we have some type of alliance that will stick up for men? You know, like the national organization. Is there a national organization of men, Michelle Obama?
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
I just don't see it one way or the other. It's kind of like race. It's a big divider, right? It's a huge divider when we're talking about this. It's the idea of, well, one's smarter than the other. I think both complement each other, but... does anybody have enough guts to stand up for men today? We go to Gene in Cuna. He's a man at 580KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my friend Kevin. And I'll tell you, nobody better come against you or get on your back. I will be there all over them. Because I'll tell you, it's not a fact of men versus women or women versus men. Our society has changed so much that equality between the sexes has become pretty much tilted to the female side. As far as women being smarter than men, that's really a misconception. And men being smarter than women is a misconception. I believe that a woman, singular, depending on what she's doing, yes, could be smarter than a man. But it has to do with the feminine side of things. It has to do with how in tune they are to kindness and all kinds of things like that. But as far as being actually smarter, if they go to college, spend 4, 5, 6 years in college, like a man, same thing, you know, it's a toss-up. A woman is more in touch with her feminine side than a man is. A man that is in touch with his so-called feminine side and being more in tune to the kindness and things around him and the sincerity of things and emotional side that he has, they can be, one can be just as smart as the other, but I've seen women that once you put them in a power position, they are power hungry, and they will not take no for an answer. They have to be right all the time. I've seen this time and time again, as well as a man, too.
Gene, quickly, you know? Who's smarter, Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton?
Oh, boy.
I got to go with Bill.
Well, yeah, well, kind of put him in a bag and shake him up, see who comes out on top. Bill, at one point, is going to be a whole lot smarter than Hillary, but Hillary has to be wise in her own sense because she's sticking with him, hoping that she'll get to be president someday, I think. But, I don't know. Bill has been able to crawl out from under so many rocks and come out looking like a rose, and then Hillary is just sitting there wondering, you know, like wringing her hands, wondering, what can I do next? Who can I do it to next? Like Martha Stewart, when she went into prison, her products were doing okay. She comes out of prison, and this is a fact, and you can Google it and find out that her products have jumped 110%. So was she smart by doing the insider trading? Or was she smart by going to prison and saying, hey, look, I have my own prison line now?
Gene, great call. I got to run.
All right, my brother. You have a great day. Be blessed, and I'll be praying for you and your lovely wife.
Right back at you, Gene. God bless.
Amen. Bye.
Bye-bye. Quickly to traffic.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:58, Kevin Miller in the morning. I have to apologize to Daniel, Patriot Ray, and John. We'll revisit this coming up next hour. Back to the original point, who's smarter, men or women? Quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next hour, we'll take a look at, well, the gay marriage legislation. It's going to the Supreme Court. Your calls on men and women, who's smarter? Stay tuned. Stay with us. Serving